Good morning.
Good
morning. My, you look good out there. It's good to see you. What a beautiful day, isn't it?
Amen.
The Lord has really blessed us with another wonderful day. A great day to come and offer thanks to Him for this day. We welcome you. If you're visiting, we want you to know that you're welcome here at Deep Run anytime. A few announcements before we begin. This week, the 30th, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, ladies' auxiliary will meet. On Thursday, the 2nd at 10, will be Bible study. And upcoming next Sunday, on the 5th, Scout fundraiser, Scout Sunday with a fundraiser meal afterwards. And that'll be a donation. So all of you, everyone is invited to eat and share in that. We'll have a card that says to our church family, thank you for your prayers and generous acts of love and kindness during the recent loss of someone we all loved. Support of our church family was overwhelming and greatly appreciated. Please continue to keep our family in your thoughts and prayers. Love the Emmett Smith family. Are there any other announcements?
Prayer breakfast next Sunday,
okay, 7:30. Anything else? All right, let's begin worship.
Everyone will please take your bulletins and stand as we read the responsive reading together. Happy are those who walk in God's ways.
Blessed are those who observe God's commandments.
Faithful are those whose eyes are fixed on righteousness.
Joyful are those whose hearts are filled with praise.
Come, let us love the Lord our God.
We come to worship the one who leads us in the ways of life.
Father God, we just thank you for this time we can come together and worship you. You are alive, and you certainly lead us into ways of life. Help us to follow you, and as we worship, we pray the anointing of your Spirit would be upon us in such a way with power and anointing that we would feel your presence in new and creative ways to help us more reflect your nature and who you really are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you will turn in your hymnal to 225, we're going to sing all three verses of Come, Christians, Join to Sing.
Come, Christians, join to sing. Hallelujah, amen. Bow grace to Christ, come.
be seated. Dennis Hill has our scripture readings this morning.
The Old Testament reading is from Psalm 15. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts, and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. The New Testament is from Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Continue to worship as we pray this morning. Are there any needs we need to remember?
Today for Betty Williams.
Betty Williams, okay. Dempsey Hill and who?
Betty Page, she had capitalization Friday and she's not doing real well.
Betty Pate, okay. Any others?
Debbie Davis,
okay. Any others? Pray for one another in Deep Run Church and thank God for his blessings. He's been mighty good to us. Amen. Let's take action as we pray.
Churches, that you will be with each one, and this one on the hill as well, that you guide us and direct us, that we would do what you would have us to do, and lead us in your way. In thy precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all turn in the hymnals to 153, stand and sing all three verses of Worthy of Worship.
Worthy of worship, worthy of praise, worthy of honor and glory, worthy.
seated. Our text today comes from the book of James. That's that little book back there in the New Testament. James chapter 3, verse 8. A little short scripture here with a lot of power to it. And it simply says, "But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." James 3:8. So we're still in our series called What If. We started out talking about what if I forgave everyone? How much my life would change, my family, my church. Last week we talked about what if I did what? Control my thoughts. What if I controlled my thoughts? And today we want to talk about what if I took control of my words. Each week as I think about these messages, I think, man, this is difficult. But this one, our words, is probably the most difficult of them all. Doable? Yes. You know, it's doable, but it's difficult. And when I think, you know, when it comes to this topic, today's topic of being a tough one to master, we got biblical support for the idea. James says, "But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." You can't fully tame the tongue like you're domesticating a wild animal. However, you can learn to control it. Like with a horse. Take a 1,200-pound horse and put a bit in his mouth, and you can control him. But that's about it. Sometimes you can't even control him. Tame the tongue. You can learn to control it. You can learn how to use it to experience God's blessings. You can learn how to control it so that you may experience God's power in your life. And that's what we want. In fact, it's necessary in the Christian life. James said that as tough as it is, impossible to tame the tongue, we're to keep a tight rein on it. His exact words were in James 1:26. "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceives themselves, and their religion is worthless." I don't know about you. I don't want a worthless religion. So learning to control the tongue, it's not an optional pursuit. A lot of things in life are optional. This is not one of them. It's a requirement for us all. And it's a discipline that God takes seriously. So, what if I took control of my words? Let's start by considering, what if I fail to take control of my words? Well, you get problems. It's not difficult to see that the problems problems are caused by the use of wrong words. You don't have to look far. More than likely, you only have to look as far as your closest relationship to understand what words can do to a relationship, because this is the biggest problem caused by words. It destroys relationships. Counselors tell us that most divorces are caused not by infidelity, but the accumulative effect of the words you speak. And the words you fail to speak. After a while, the words or the lack of words take their toll on the relationship, and it comes to an end. There's a lie that we were told as children. You know what it is? "Sticks and stones may break my bones, But words will never hurt me. Guess what? Words do hurt. Sticks and stones and broken bones hurt for a little while. But I tell you, I know a lot of cases where words have lasted a lifetime. And they still last. Wrong words can make a bad situation worse. Whenever you continue to speak negative words into a negative situation, you tend to flame the negativity of it until it gets totally out of control. Maybe you've been in a situation where you had a problem to deal with. Well, the person, you may be your spouse, neighbor, child, fellow believer, your boss, somebody at work, and you began to discuss it with them, but the discussions were never about solutions. What was said was about the problem itself, how big it is, how bad it is, how much you hate the problem, how much you want the problem to change, how much it's other people's fault. Other people don't have this problem, and on and on and on. The more you complain, the more negative words that are used, the worse the situation gets. The result is speaking negatively into a negative situation only to make the situation worse. And that's why the Bible tells us to take control of our words. Well, so preacher, what good will it do if I take control of my words? Well, if you're willing to take control of your words, you can begin to create changes in your life. First of all, you become a better person. You know, we talked about Norman Vincent Peale the other week, and he said, change your thoughts and you'll change your world. There's another principle we need to keep in mind. Change your words and you'll change yourself. Isn't that a pretty good one? James said, James 3:2, he says, we all make many mistakes, but those who control their tongues can also control themselves in every other way. Wow. Maybe the bad things that are happening to me is not somebody else's fault. After all, the key to overcoming bad habits is to start with your tongue. Start with the words you say. You'll become a better person. You'll also build others up. The tongue can either build up or break down. And another advantage of taking control of your words is that right words can minister to others. We're all called to reflect Jesus Christ in our life. And he was a master at building others up, ministering to their needs. And as believers, we're called to minister to those around us that God puts in our path. Right words at the right time, they can strengthen others and build them up. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Wow. Your words have the power to tear people down or the power to build them up. Your words have the power to make people want to quit or to encourage them to try one more time. It depends on how you use them. Many people think that the spiritual gift of prophecy is a negative gift. That prophets speak with anger about everything that's wrong. And many people think the same way about sermons. They think sermons aren't good unless they're negative. But you know what the truth is? Do you know what the Bible says? In 1 Corinthians 14:3 it says, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Did you get that? As a follower of Jesus Christ, our words, the things that we say, are to strengthen, encourage, and bring comfort to those around us. And this should be the goal of every sermon, every Sunday school lesson, every conversation. every believer, every church, right? To build up one another with right words. So you'll also give glory to God. Another advantage of taking control of your words is that you give glory to God. David said in Psalm 63:3, he said, "My lips will glorify you, God." And one of the reasons we're put on here on this earth is God created us to glorify Him and to praise Him with our words. And we're to glorify God with our actions. But we must also remember that God puts a high price on the things that we say. God delights in hearing our praise and worship. And just like couples need to be reminded of one another of their love, just like friends need to express their appreciation for one another, God wants to hear from His people words of praise and thanksgiving and expressions of love. I think many times we get this backwards. Gossip and slander pours from our lips. When it's time to praise God, we close our lips. And it should be the other way around. We must control our lips in such a way that we're engaging in the power of praise. Amen? Amen? So how do you put it into practice? Briefly, I want to point out three simple things I think that'll help. The Bible says will help when it comes to the control of the tongue. There's three areas in which we need to begin to hold back the words that we speak. The first thing I believe is don't say everything you know. I was sitting at a place not long ago in a meeting, and there were some people behind me, and the whole time they were telling everything they knew about other people. Some of the people I knew, and I knew they were misrepresenting a lot of things, but man, they were letting it fly, huh? It was going on good. All right, what does James 1:19 say? My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. You ever notice when you looked in the mirror, you got two ears and one mouth? Huh? That ought to tell us something, hadn't it? We got two ears, two of them. In case one of them don't work, we still got another one over there so we can listen before we speak. Restless, evil, deadly poison, that's what James said. Those who consider themselves religious but don't keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. You may know something about someone, but just because you know it and just because it's true doesn't mean you have to say it. Dang on it. If what you say doesn't bring someone else up, if what you're fixing to say don't bring glory to God, then according to James, you're better off keeping your mouth shut. Amen?
Amen.
Solomon said in Proverbs 12:27, he said, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint. Before you speak, consider saying nothing at all, he said, because you don't have to say everything you know. Wise man, weren't he? So don't say everything you know. It's not good for the situation. And don't say everything you think. Huh? Don't say everything you think. Some people believe they know a little bit more about every subject than everyone else. They think they do. And they believe it's their duty to inform everyone about what they think about every situation when the chance presents itself. Whatever subject comes up in the conversation, whether it's stock market, computers, criminal justice, politics, religion, people, church, They believe they have first and the final word on the matter, and they let it fly. They tell you what they think. You know, we can fall into this habit unintentionally, but we must be careful. We need to watch out for it. Solomon said in Proverbs 17:28, listen to what he said. He said, "Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent." And Jesus reminds us that the things we say are a good indication of the condition of our hearts. I'm talking to some religious people one day, he said, "You're a brood of vipers. How can you speak good things when you're evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Therefore, watch what you let outside of you." James said, if we want to speak good things, we need our heart to be full of it. James said, no spring can yield both salt water and fresh water. You don't have to say everything you think. Before you speak, keep this principle in mind. Silence looks like knowledge. So remember to think first and speak second. Don't say everything you think. The third thing is, I know you know what it is. Don't repeat everything you hear. Now, this is serious, okay? Let's look at a couple of scriptures. The New Testament word, Greek word for gossip, I can't even pronounce it. When I looked it up, it's literally a whisperer. A person who whispers behind your back with the intention of hurting you. One of the Greek scholars described a gossiper as someone who pours out his poison by whispering it in our ears. And with the telephone, we don't even have to whisper behind people's backs, do we? We can just badmouth them over the phone without their knowledge. And with the advent of email and social media, gossip spews forth onto the internet and onto computers and cell phones and our homes and workplaces and all over the world. In Romans 1:29, the Bible links gossip and slander together as sister sins. The New Testament word slander means to speak evil of someone. When we gossip, we speak evil about people. We badmouth them. The King James Version in Romans 1:30 says that people who gossip and slander are backbiters. When we badmouth someone with gossip, we bite them behind their backs, so to speak, whether the gossip is true or not. And here's the problem with repeating gossip. There's an extremely high probability that if you repeat what you hear, it probably isn't all true. A wise teacher once sent a note home to all the parents the first day of school. And this is what she wrote. If you promise not to believe everything your child happens to say at school, I promise I'll not believe everything your child says happens at home. Gossip tends to get blown up as it passes from person to person, from store to store, shop to shop, phone to phone. The subject of gossip is one that I believe we don't take serious enough. We say things like, well, I'm going to go visit such and such, and I'm going to catch up on the latest gossip. I know y'all have never said that. And, you know, we say it like there's nothing wrong with it. And to a certain extent, catching up on gossip is a figure of speech, but all too often, it's an accurate way of the way we make conversation. And we need to begin to take gossip seriously. You know what Proverbs says about gossip? A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. Proverbs 16:28. That's something to think about. Never occur to you when you talk bad about someone that God considers your actions perverted. You're talking about a person he created. They may not be all that they should be, but you're talking about God's creation. The epistle to the Romans associates gossips, backbiters, with a list of sins including sexual immorality and murder. I want to read through that, Romans 1, 28 and 32. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness. What is the unrighteous acts here? Being filled with all unrighteousness. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. It may be hard to believe, but that's what the Bible says. And in my humble opinion, the truer it is and the juicier it is, the more despicable it is to God when we repeat it. God would rather have us remain silent about it. Solomon said in Proverbs 14:9, "He who covers an offense promotes love, and whoever repeats the matter separates close friends." Some is repeating everything you hear destroys relationships and friendships. And this is why we must think before speaking and consider whether we should say anything at all. You know, you don't have to repeat everything you hear. If someone says to you, "Can you keep a secret?" You tell them, "No, I can't." And you run, huh? You'll be a whole lot better off. Amen? And in conclusion, when we take control of our words, we're able to take control of other areas of our life as well. As James reminded us, we all make many mistakes. Those who control their tongues can also control themselves in every other way. Let us take this lesson to heart and put these steps into practice. Don't say everything you know, please. Don't say everything you think. And don't repeat everything you hear. There's a high probability if we do this, we'll be speaking less. The secret to taking control of our words is to use less of them. When words are many, Proverbs says, when words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. Just like changing your thoughts can change your world, changing your words can change yourself. And this was David's advice in Psalm 141:3. He said, "Lord, set a guard over my mouth. Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips." That would be a good prayer, wouldn't it? Every day. Learn to control the tongue. Change words. Use words to build others up. Speak blessing into people's lives. Keep watch over what you say. Offer to God continual praise. And in doing so, I believe we can experience God's blessings and his power in our lives. Amen? What if? What if I took control of my words? Father, we thank you today for your word. It's life, and we need to speak life more often. So speak to our hearts and move us and help manage us the things that we say to one another, those around us. And we give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
If everyone would please stand and turn to 83 in our hymnals. We're going to sing through this twice. There's something about that name. Being present, bringing the spirit of worship, carry that same spirit out into the world, reflect Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Remember the announcements, Monday night, tomorrow night, 7 Ladies Auxiliary, February the 2nd, Thursday, 10 a.m. Bible study, next Sunday, Scout Sunday, and have a dinner afterwards. And also on the back of your bulletins are prayer concerns, so as you pray this week, remember these that are listed on the back of the bulletin. Anybody have anything to say before we leave? All right, we got our work cut out for us this week, don't we?
Amen.
Okay, well, when God gives a command, whenever we follow his instructions, he always blesses it. So I know there's a lot of blessings in store this week. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
power and glory forever.
Amen.